Praise God. Well, let's just, as the kids are going out, let's just bow in prayer and just as we open the word this morning. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth, Lord. We thank you that we can rely on your word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you speak to us today as we open your word, Lord, that your word is truth, Lord, and let the truth of your word permeate into our hearts this day. So, Father, we open ourselves, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord. You've already spoken to us, Lord, as we've worshipped you. But, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you just speak to us now through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm really excited about our theme this year, Unashamed, and I'm so excited about people grabbing a hold of it and really beginning to understand what it means to be unashamed. And remember, we're looking at unashamed in a number of ways. One is to be unashamed before God, to be unashamed in our daily life and in our ministry, and also in our witness. We're looking at what it is to be unashamed. If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, our key scriptures will come up there on the screen. They're also on your bookmark. But I just want to read a little bit of background from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we want to talk about a knowledge that we can have, that if we know these things, that we will not be ashamed. We won't be ones that have to feel ashamed. That we'll have a confidence, a boldness that will come upon us before God in the right sense if we know these things. So that's what I want to talk about. Remember last time, first time we spoke about how God covered our nakedness, that there was a man had been ashamed, he hid because he was naked, but God has covered us, that we're covered because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about conscience, how important our conscience is, and the only way ultimately to have it, to be unashamed, is to have a clear conscience. You'd have a clear conscience by having a conscience that is seared. In other words, that nothing will faze you, no sense of shame, you'll do anything and no sense of that at all. Or else you have a conscience that is clean because Jesus Christ has washed it, and because of Christ, we can be unashamed before God. I want to start with 2 Timothy and reading chapter 1, and I want to read down from verse 3. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, reading down from verse 3. Verse 12 will be our main script text, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, reading down from verse 3. I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience. We spoke about having a clear conscience week before last. Pastor Bat shared beautifully last week, but having a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I'm reading the wrong scripture, I think. No, I'm not. I've just started a little bit earlier than I intended. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or be ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for his gospel. By the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought his life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and teacher, and that is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. That's what I want to share about. Only that verse 12, or that beginning in verse 3, it talks about it has a clear conscience. We talked about how to have a clear conscience. Some people are plagued with guilt, riddled with shame, and how to deal with that. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. If you missed that, always go on the internet. All the sermons are there. You can go online to a website and listen to anything that you missed out on. So I don't want to talk about a clear conscience, but I want to talk about what Paul is saying, about two things that he says. He says in verse 12, where he says, and that is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed. ashamed, because of two things that he is not ashamed. Now, Paul certainly was suffering. He was in jail. He was in prison for his faith. He was in chain, bound, restricted because of his faith, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was definitely suffering at that time. And all of us at different times will go through all different forms of suffering, whether it's a relational, physical, emotional, financial, whatever it is. There'll be degrees of that. But I don't think any of us, maybe few of us, I know one of us here that is for their faith is in another country who's been imprisoned, and one day you'll hear their testimony. But most of us haven't actually been in jail because of our faith, because we're a Christian, because of what we believe in. Most of us haven't been in that. But in the midst of all of this suffering and all of the things that he went through, he was able to boldly put his head up and say, "Now I am unashamed of my Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever the cost is, whatever the price, I am prepared to pay it, and I am unashamed." And he says in verse 12, he gives us two things that make it very clear to us why he is unashamed. Let's read verse 12 again. It will be up on the screen. He says, "That's why I'm suffering as I am." Why was he suffering? Because he was a Christian, because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was not afraid to tell people about the love of Christ. And to such an extent, he was ultimately thrown in jail because of his faith. But he says, "That is why I'm suffering as I am, because of that, because I've called, because I'm speaking forth. Yet I am not ashamed because of two things. Because number one, I know whom I have believed. And secondly, I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." Two things that he says, "I am not ashamed." He talks about a clear conscience. We've spoken about having a clear conscience. But two things he says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day." Now, we all know that we're called to share our faith. We all know that we're called to do that. And some of you, the idea of being even in the parade, all know, you know, how people see me or whatever. And some people freak out even about sharing their faith. And that's why we do things such as walk across the room and other programs to help you to be confident in how to do that. But one of the reasons people are ashamed in their witness and their testimony and sharing it is because they are actually ashamed before God. And you will not be unashamed before man until you are unashamed before God. If you carry that sense of guilt and shame, you're really going to struggle with your testimony, your witness. If you feel ashamed before God, how are you going to stand before men and tell them about the God that you have shamed before? And so it's so important. I've written down here, you'll not be ashamed about God you'll not be unashamed about God until you're unashamed before God. But some people struggle in the presence of God, and you ask, do you witness, do you share your faith? Oh, look, I know I should, but. And a lot of the buts come down to our own relationship with God. And that if we're not secure in our relationship with God, you're going to find it so hard to share your faith with other people. Because immediately when you do that, you're going to be aware of all your own insecurities. You're going to be so aware of all your own weaknesses, all your failures, and how you can even fall like I just did off the platform. How you'll be so aware of all of those things. You'll be overwhelmed with a sense of that. You're trying to share your faith, and the devil will be trying to pull little things, oh, you did this, and trying to drag you down in some way. And find it extremely difficult in your faith. If you've got that sense of any sense of shame, reticence or reluctance in the presence of God, you're going to struggle with that. You're going to struggle with that. With your friends, you know, you want to share your friends, you know you should, but there's something, there's an embarrassment that you feel. Oh, what are my friends going to think? What are they going to say? But ultimately that comes down to such a sense, even before God, there is a sense of shame in that. Now, you might not think like that. You might think, well, I don't know. I just get a little bit embarrassed about what my friends say. Will they reject me? Will they not accept me? But ultimately, it comes down to that. It comes down to you and God and your relationship with God. That obviously affects every area of our life, but ultimately, it certainly affects our witness. And if you struggle with that, you're embarrassed about what your friends are going to think. What are they going to say? Will they be reject me? Well, if you struggle with that, the first place I would look is look at your relationship with God. What is my relationship with God? Because Paul says two things. He says, even though I'm suffering as I am, I mean, he's been chucked in jail. That's pretty extreme, I would think. But he says, even though that I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. It talks about knowing whom I have believed. It's one thing to believe, it's another thing to know him. Did you know you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can confess him as Lord and Savior, that you can acknowledge that he died upon the cross for your sins, that you have salvation because of him, and still live your life without really knowing him? That's really sad. A lot of people do that. They have an experience of God, an encounter with God, and they're not even questioning salvation. But that's where it stays. And so that they're believers, they have a great time. Yeah, I believe God, but the reality in daily life doesn't actually filter through. And so we can be believer, but not know him who we believe. The word, when it talks about knowing there, it's not just knowing as in familiarity or intellectual assent. It's knowing by experience, knowing who God is, knowing his heart, and knowing that and living that every day. That's the kind of knowing that God wants us to have. Not just believing and I'm saved, praise God, but there's a level of knowing. And if we know him in such a way, then we do not have to ever be ashamed. To know God, know his heart, know his character, know his commitment to each of us. And if we have that, then we will not be ashamed. But people struggle because they're believers. They know they're saved and other people need to be saved and they need the salvation as well. But they struggle translating, knowing that people need Christ, to actually proclaiming the love of Christ because they don't really know God. That's the problem. That's the struggle. And so there's a sense of a shame, embarrassment. Oh, what are my friends going to say? What if they reject me? What's going to happen is because we don't really know God and we're not really confident in the God who loves us. We know we're saved, but in terms of knowing him deeply and intimately, we struggle with that. But see, once you know God, not just believe in him, but you know God. You realize for the first time in your life that you've got nothing to prove to anybody. You don't have to earn people's approval. You don't need people to pat you on the back. You don't need the well done. You don't need their acceptance. You're not crying out for people to approve of you or to accept you or to love you. When you know God and you know God's heart to you, that is enough. That is enough. The approval of men, you don't need that. It's nice, and we all want to be encouraged and all of those things, but to be approved, to be accepted, you don't need acceptance of other people. You don't need their approval. And because you know that you're approved and accepted by God, you know that and you know him, you can be unashamed before men. You're not afraid of what they say. You don't become arrogant. We're not talking about arrogance. There's a big difference between unashamed and arrogance. Arrogance is just rudeness, which doesn't care about the feelings of anyone else. We're not talking about it. But we're talking about their feelings, not our feelings. Unashamed, you're ashamed. It's your own feeling. How am I going to feel? The focus is on me. But when you're unashamed, you're sensitive to where they are, the people who don't know the relationship or the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart is for them. But when we know who God is, we know God, we've got nothing to prove. Why? I don't need, there's not a need that you might accept me or approve me because I know that I'm approved. It's a great scripture in Psalm 34, verse 5. It says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to him are radiant. And if you know God and you know who he is and your relationship is growing in God and it's growing every day, you know God, you know his love, you know what he thinks of you, you know how passionately he loves you, then there's a radiance that is upon our heart and we don't have to be ashamed of what men say or what man is going to think. Those who look to the Lord, their faces are radiant, will never be covered with shame. When do we feel ashamed? It's because we're not looking to God. We're not our eyes upon him. Our focus is on him. It's about me. What will people say about me? What if they don't accept me? What if they don't approve me? What if people think less of me in some way? But if you know the love of God and what he thinks towards us and we're looking to him, we know we're accepted to the one that matters. We're approved to the one who matters and we're not crying out for that in other people. And so really, we don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to do that. We love people. We're sensitive to where they're at for sure. But we're not worried about where we're at. We're not worried about acceptance ourselves, our own sense of approval, because we stand as men and women of God and young people, children that stand approved by the living God. But most people who don't know the Lord, and even some people who believe and aren't growing in their faith, just so much want everyone to accept them, want everyone to think well of them, put on whatever front is needed that people might think they're good. do be seen to do the right thing, that people might accept them, that they try to conform, that people might bring them in and make them a part of it to be accepted and approved. But when you stand as one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, you are unashamed. You've got nothing to prove because you know the Lord Jesus Christ is in your heart. This was in a passionate prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1:17. He said, I keep asking, because he so much wants it. I keep asking that the God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And that's my prayer this day, that God is going to give you a revelation of how much God loves you, that you might begin to know him more and more. And as you know him more and more, you are not going to be ashamed before God because you know what his heart is towards you. And you are not going to be ashamed before men. You'll have a confidence, not an arrogance, but a confidence that comes with knowing that I stand approved by the living God, the creator of heaven and earth has put his seal and his stamp upon me. Not because of anything I've done, but because of everything the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me upon the cross. And so there's this cry of Paul is that we might know him. There's a spiritual revelation. We'll suddenly open our eyes and begin to see. And I pray God will open our eyes this day more that we might know him and know his heart. And therefore we will not be ashamed. As Paul said, he says, I am unashamed. I'm not ashamed because I know him whom I believe. I don't have to prove myself. I've got nothing to prove because I am accepted by my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ. My Father in heaven accepts me. Well, it's Colossians 1:10, it talks about growing in the knowledge of God. And you can grow in that. We're called Grow Church because we want to see people grow in the things of God. And as you grow in the things of God, you will find that the sense of being ashamed and downtrodden and downcast and hopeless, helpless, lost, it just goes away as you grow in God. And you can grow in God. There's a spiritual revelation that we might know him more, but there's a systematic growing in God. And that's why we have courses. That's why we do whatever it takes. We gather, we open the Word of God because we want to grow in the knowledge of God because we don't want to be a people that carry a sense of shame. We want to be unashamed before God as we worship him. We stand free of shame. As we stand before men, we stand without shame. We're not looking for their approval or for their acceptance, but our heart is that they may find the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And that was the first thing that Paul was said. He talked about, he said, I'm not ashamed. He says, don't you be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't allow that to hit your life because I know whom I have believed. And one of the wonderful things about knowing God is that confidence that you have, that you don't have to prove yourself. So a lot of people live their whole life trying to prove themselves. The type of car, the size of their house, what the income is, what they've done, their accomplishments, whole lot of stuff trying to prove themselves. Look, I'm a good person. I'm accepted. I've made it. I'm a success. I've done it. And trying to do that, trying to earn approval of even people they don't even know, are trying to learn acceptance of people that are complete strangers. People try to prove themselves in many ways. We don't have to prove ourselves. Rather, we stand approved by the living God. He proves us through our Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of beautiful scriptures, Hebrews 11:16, and I just love this. It says, this is God thinking about us. We're talking about us being unashamed before God. We're not ashamed in his presence because of what Jesus has done. But this is what God thinks of us. Hebrews 11:16, it says, therefore, God is not ashamed. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is not ashamed to be called your God. He knows each of us by name. He knows you by name. And he says, God proudly declares, this is my son. This is my daughter whom I am well pleased. God is not ashamed of us. God himself is not ashamed of you. He proudly declares that he is your father. What an amazing thing that is. To me, I think that's amazing. That God himself, he's not ashamed of me. Sometimes you may feel that, no, God is not ashamed of you. He's proud of you. You're his son. You're a daughter of the living God, of the Most High God. And he is proud of you. He's not ashamed of you. It says in Hebrews 2:11, it says, both the one who makes man holy and the one who are made holy of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Jesus is not ashamed of you. In fact, he's not ashamed of you in any way, in the sense that he was actually going to call you, this is my brother, this is my sister. Jesus is not ashamed of us. God is not ashamed of us. Jesus, he is not ashamed of us. How can we carry shame upon our life? God looks at you and says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter whom I love, who I treasure, in whom I am well pleased because of what Jesus Christ has made them pure and radiant. And so how can we be ashamed before God? How can we not worship him? How can we hold back, oh, he's going to accept me? He's not ashamed of you. Not because of you, not because of me, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have that confidence to know God is not ashamed of me. Now let that sink in for a minute. God is not ashamed of me. God is not ashamed of me. If we really hit something today, that'll blow you away. Jesus is not ashamed of you. God is happy to call you his son or daughter. Jesus is happy to call you his sister, his brother. God is not ashamed. So if you begin to know that, if you know how God's heart towards us, then you can be unashamed. You can be unashamed in the presence of God when you come to, because he's not ashamed of you. And you can stand and tell people about the love of Jesus Christ and be unashamed, because God is not ashamed of me. I'm not going to be ashamed of me. God is not ashamed of me. Now, remember we spoke about sin and dealing with those things, about conscience and all of those things. I'm not going to go over all that ground again. But we can confidently come before the throne of grace because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so we have nothing to prove. We don't have to prove ourselves. You don't have to prove yourself to God. You don't have to earn more brownie points with God. You don't have to do enough things to make him love you more. You don't have to do that. You stand approved because of the finished work of the cross. Now, he calls us to live a godly life, as he really wants us to live that godly life. But we don't live the godly life that he approves us. We live the godly life because he has already approved us. Because we got nothing to prove. We don't have to look good in front of anyone. We don't have to put on an act or a show in front of anyone. Because the one that matters, the audience that matters, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that's already approved us. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. You don't have to try to get acceptance from anyone. Because God has accepted us. And so we can be unashamed. We can be confident. Not arrogant, but confident because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that he said, Paul says in verse 12, yet I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. Not ashamed of you. Because I am convinced that he is able, to guard what I have entrusted to him. So that again, is an amazing thing to me. Paul was able, he's saying, two reasons. One, I know God and I know his heart towards me. He's not ashamed of me. I'm not going to be living in shame. God's not ashamed of me. I know God and I'm knowing him more and more. I know his character. I know the kind of God that he is. I know his love. I know his grace, his mercy. I know his power. I know his strength. I know his faithfulness. I know that he never gives up on me, and I'm not going to give up because he never gives up on me, that he's always faithful. We hold on to him. Paul understood he had a knowing of God and a growing knowledge of God. Even Paul said, look, I'm not there yet, as much as he knew and saw and understood. And none of us are there, but we're growing in that knowledge. But as we know that, we can be unashamed. The second thing was, I am convinced. Now, when he said, knowing him, I believe, that was knowing by experience. Have experienced it for yourself, not because someone told me, but I know it because I've experienced it. I see it with my own eyes. I have that revelation, that understanding in my life. And here he says, I am convinced. If you're convinced of something, it means no one is going to talk you out of it. No one can talk you out of something that you're convinced about, something you have an opinion on. If you've got a strong opinion about something, then possibly you can be dissuaded from an opinion. I have a strong opinion about this, but if certain facts were revealed or certain things were shown to you, certain arguments were presented to you, then you may be swayed. You may change that opinion. You may change your mind because of new facts that have come, because a new understanding, a new perspective, something that I didn't really see it that way before, and so that you can change it if it's opinion. But this is not an opinion. This is a conviction. He says, I am convinced. Are you convinced this morning? Or do you have a strong opinion? Or is it an actual conviction that you have that is something that you will not be dissuaded about, that no one is going to talk you out of? Doesn't matter whatever happens to you in your life. Doesn't matter even if you're thrown in prison and you're in chain. It doesn't matter what changes. It doesn't matter what happens around you. There's a conviction that you hold deep within your heart, and nothing upon heaven or upon earth is going to change that. It's a conviction that you have because it's born of the Spirit of God. And that's the conviction that Paul is talking about here. He says, I have a conviction that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. He is convinced of that. He's convinced of something in God, that God is a faithful God, and he is able to guard. He is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What's that day? That day is the end of the age. It's the end of the world. It's when the Lord comes back in glory. Because remember, Christ is coming back. He didn't just die on the cross. He rose again, and he is coming back. He is our coming King. Jesus Christ is returning. So praise God of that. Praise God of the knowledge of that, and have a conviction that he is able to guard what we've entrusted to him. What have we entrusted to him? I don't know about you. I've entrusted everything to him. I've got everything riding on him. Everything. I don't have anything on the side, a little escape hatch. I've got everything I have is riding on that. Everything, every hope, every dream, everything is relying on the Lord. Everything is with him. Everything, our whole life. What is he guarding? He's guarding our eternal destiny, our spirit, that eternal part of us. God is guarding that, and that is held safe and secure. And there is nothing, nothing that can touch that. Nothing that can harm that. The devil cannot touch that. The gates of hell cannot touch that. Cannot touch that. The devil cannot touch that. Why do we hear these people in these countries, these people that are thrown in prison for their faith, maybe spend their whole life in prison, from a young man to their 80s in jail? And yet they stand there, and as they will say, it doesn't matter if they beat me, they flog me, it doesn't matter what they do, deprive me of food, sleep, whatever they do, they cannot touch me because they have that conviction. They have that conviction. And so in prison, beaten, tortured for their faith, they stand and proclaim that Jesus Christ, he is my Savior, he is my Lord, and I've got nothing to lose. And that's ultimately the point that comes when you're unashamed, because you've got nothing to lose. If you've got nothing to lose, there's nothing to lose. If you're unashamed, you're not worried about anything because you've got nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose. And we've got nothing to lose because everything of worth, everything of value, everything of substance, we've given that to our Lord Jesus Christ. You have nothing to lose. The most important things in life are settled when we come to the cross. The most important issues are resolved when we give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got nothing to lose. And when I've got nothing to lose, I can be unashamed. I've got nothing to lose. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what they do. I can be unashamed because I've got nothing to lose. Because I know and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Do you have that conviction? Are you worried about sickness and disease or whatever it is? Don't let those things get on top of you. You've got nothing to lose. You've settled. Things are settled. What about telling your friends about the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, they might not like me. You've got nothing to lose. They've got everything to lose. They don't know salvation. They don't have the hope that you have. Their hope, their destiny is not a good thing. Yours is secure because he's able to guard that. If you've got nothing to prove in life, you've got nothing to lose, you can be unashamed. You can stand and tell people about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can come boldly before God and honor him and worship him and not be ashamed before him because you've got nothing anyway. You've given it all to him. It's all his. It's all his. We've given our heart and our life to him. We've got nothing to lose. Our destiny is secure. Our eternal destiny is secure because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say? I like the promise. We're going to close with this promise in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7. A wonderful promise of Scripture. Because when we're in Christ, everything makes sense. But everything is secure and we can be unashamed. Our eternal destiny is secure. We don't fear death as people do. Sad thing, you go to a funeral and people don't know the things of God. And maybe they didn't believe in God, but they don't know God. And so they're hoping they were a good enough person. And, you know, enough little brownie points, the good outweighs the bad. Hopefully they'll make it. Unfortunately, we know. The sad fact is it just does not cut it. The only thing that cuts it is knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Saviour. The only thing that ensures our salvation. But we've done that. We've given our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you haven't got that conviction, you don't know 100% where you're going and that the Lord has your life in His hand, then you need to settle that today. Don't mess with it. This is your life you're talking about. Don't mess with it. This is your future. Not only on this earth, this is your eternal future. Don't mess with it. Something so very important. Get that right. But this promise in Isaiah 61, and I want to proclaim that over us as a people this day who might know Him, know the one that we believe, and know that He's able to guard what we've entrusted to Him. Nothing cannot touch it. The devil cannot touch it. No one, nothing can touch. He's guarding us and guarding the eternal part of us. And we hold on to that. Isaiah 61:7, it says this. Instead of their shame, and I'm proclaiming this, make this your prayer, proclaim this scripture for your own life. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. So they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Instead of shame, my people will receive a double portion. Make that your prayer. Say, Lord, no, I'm not going to be one who has shame in my life, because that's not my destiny. That's not the plan that you have for my life. Lord, I want a double portion, Lord, not only of the things to come, but even in this life. I have an inheritance, yes, in eternity, because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, but I have an eternity in this life. And I want a double portion, Lord. I want your blessing upon my life. And I don't live my life for me because I've given it all for you. But Lord, I want to walk in that blessing upon your life. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, in their salvation. Are you rejoicing in that, or you got disgrace this day? Don't allow shame to hold you back. Bring it to God. Bring it to Jesus. Look to the Lord, knowing, let your faith be radiant this day. And if you've come this day and said, well, look, yeah, well, my face isn't all that radiant today. I'm really hung down. My head's hung down. I feel ashamed before God. I struggle with praying. I struggle even coming to church. And I don't even really know the Lord like you're saying. Oh, I believe there's God somewhere. I don't know Jesus. I want to pray with you today. If you're struggling with any area in your life today, I want to pray with you. But my prayer is today that there will be a revelation upon our hearts that we will be ones who are unashamed. We will know the one who believes. He's not ashamed of you. God is not ashamed of you. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself puts His arm around and says, you're my brother. He's not ashamed to call you brother. How can we live in shame? When God's not ashamed of us, Jesus is saying, I'm not ashamed to be your brother. So let's rise. And I want to pray for us. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. I want to pray for all of us this morning. I want to pray that over us, that double portion will be upon our hearts and our lives. If you need prayer this morning, I'd love you to come forward. It's our custom to ask people to come forward. We'll pray with you. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or that conviction is not burning in your heart this day, I'd love to pray with you. You're struggling, you need prayer, we will pray with you also this morning. But Father, as we stand here today, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the wonderful word that you've given us, Lord, that you're not ashamed of us, that the creator of heaven and earth, because of Jesus Christ, you look upon us, Lord, and you're not ashamed of us, Lord. You're proud. You're the proud Heavenly Father of us, your children. Father, help us to have a revelation of what that is, Lord, a revelation of what it is to have a God that loves us so much, Lord, that is not ashamed of us. Lord, let us have a revelation to have our Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed of us, is not ashamed to call us His brothers. Father, I pray, Lord, let there be a revelation in our heart. And Father, let us know you, Lord, know you. And Lord, as we know you, Lord, to understand, Lord, we've got nothing to prove. Father, I pray for anyone here, Lord, that is so much worried about what everyone else thinks of them, Lord, who's caught up and bound in that, Lord. What do people think? What are they going to say? Father, I pray for a release of that bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we know you more, Lord, that will be broken over people's lives, or they won't be bound by that. Lord, we have nothing to prove, Father. I pray, Lord. Also, Lord, as we have a revelation of what we've entrusted to you, Lord, that we realize, Lord, we've got nothing to lose. Father, I pray, Lord, for people that are fearful of what may happen to them, fearful for what they may get or what they might have or what they may lose, Father. I pray, Lord, let them understand we've got nothing to lose, Lord. We've got it all in your hands, that which is important. Father, I pray for us. Lord, let us have an understanding. Let there be a revelation upon our heart this day. And Father, I pray, if there's anyone that is here today, Father, that does not know you, that Father, that when they stand before you on that day, Lord, when that day comes, and that day will come, Father, And Lord, they're not going to be confident, Lord. They're not going to be sure, Lord. They're actually going to have their head hung down, even in shame. Father, I pray for anyone who doesn't know you this day, personally and intimately. Father, I pray, Lord, that they'll have the courage this day, Lord, to come forth and allow Jesus to come into their life. Lord, to cleanse them, Lord, to give them a hope and a future, Lord, and the promise of eternal life. So, Father, I just thank you today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you want us all to be unashamed. Father, again, I just pray for next Sunday, Father. Lord, next Saturday, Lord, and we at the festival, Lord, we're going to march, Lord, we're going to be unashamed because we know the one who we believe, Lord, and we know that you guard it, Lord. We've got nothing to prove, nothing to lose. And so, Father, we want to honor you this day and every day in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to have a song as we close. Make sure you stay for some fellowship. Don't hang around here. Come out of here, empty the auditorium. Move out in there, have some fellowship with one another, share with one another, bless one another. But if you want prayer, just as we're singing, just invite you to come forward this morning. We want to pray with you that God will touch you in a powerful way. Bless you and praise God. Thank you.